Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey everyone, Matt Lieb here, one half of the Pod Yourself a Gun podcast, wishing you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year. The following is the most recent Patreon episode of me and Vince Mancini's other podcast, The Fraughtcast, that we wanted to share with you in the hopes that you'll enjoy it, and consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/fraughtcast. Give yourself the gift of continued Matt and Vince content by subscribing and joining the Fraughtcast Patreon. And you know what? Why don't you join the Pod Yourself a Shoutout tier? And not only will you get our weekly episode, but you'll also get a shout out on the podcast and we'll make up a mafia name for you. That's a lot of fun, right? Plus, becoming a Fraughtcast patron helps Vince and I have the means to continue creating the Sopranos podcast, so it's really a win-win for everyone. For those of you who have never listened, it's similar to Pod Yourself a Gun, except way less structured. I use the word lum a lot, which is an onomatopoeia for eating butt. And I do this thing at the very end called Royalty Freestyle, where Vince plays a royalty-free song, and I just make up a song on the spot, because according to Vince, it's fun to watch me squirm. Anyways, we hope you enjoy this episode, and in this episode, Vince and I talk to comedian Jessica Seely about Tom Cruise's recent viral rant and the HBO miniseries, The Undoing. We hope you enjoy the episode. We hope that this content can tide you over until we start season 4 of Pod Yourself a Gun. And happy holidays to everyone.
Going on, you're listening to the Film Drunk Broadcast, coming at you not live from a series of Zoom locations, not live from Fresno, California, and not live from Los Angeles, California. I'm Vince Mancini. I'm here with the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Lums in my butt. Lums in my butt. Coming in my butt. Coming in my butt. La, la, la. Hey, what's up, everyone?
That's good. That's a good. You did a new one. I liked it.
Well, you actually were singing that before we started the show, and I was like, oh, that's a good song to do.
Yeah, that's a late-breaking parody song.
You know, it's because last week, I think, is when I did Little Lummer Boy.
What? You cut out. You said last, and then you cut out.
Oh, last week is when I did Little Lummer Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like, and I also did We Three Kings, and I was like, I should do a Christmas Lum song. And then I was like, I already did it, so I'll just do something, I'll just go off top, and then you help me out. Anyways, that's the whole story there, dude. I'm so excited to be here. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Who else is here with us?
I'm here.
We're here with Jessica Seeley. Jessica Seeley is back in the Fraught Zoom. How you doing, Jessica?
I am okay.
good. Are you having a good Christmas, Hanukkah holiday season?
Merry Christmas, everybody, first of all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the whole quarantine holiday situation for me is like, you mean I don't have to see my family for the holidays? This is cool.
You're not going home. You're at it's just you and your boyfriend.
Yeah, did you hear that just now?
No, what was it? Was it a fart?
He just blew some. He blows his snot out in the bathroom sometimes really loud, and then my therapist will hear it. She's like, "What was that?"
It's got to be. Like,
I don't even hear it anymore.
Does he do it into the sink or?
I think, well, he usually does it in the shower.
Oh, okay. So that's.
Oh, yeah, he's showering. I couldn't tell because my headphones are on.
Damn. So that's, I mean, that's not as bad. At least he's not just like in the bathroom, just on the toilet, blowing snot rockets.
Up snot rockets all over the floor.
Yeah. And, you know, my grandpa used to do that, and now he like has emphysema and stuff.
You think they're related?
Well, no, I think they both were smokers, but I think if you feel like you have a lot of stuff to hack up a lot of the time, that means there's your lungs shouldn't have stuff in them.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's right.
Your lungs should only have air.
Right, right.
Do you think that you've accidentally started dating your grandfather?
Oh my God, he literally is my grandpa. You guys want to know something weird, though?
Yes.
I lived with my grandpa when I was going through puberty. It's not as weird as it sounds.
But, it's a bad start, though.
But all the kids at school would make fun of me because I didn't shave my legs. Mm. And then I went home and I used my grandpa's razor, which I think is weird. I also like...
No, that's fine.
Why? Yeah, no, you needed a razor. It was the razor. You need a razor.
Yeah, but... I feel like it's kind of gross that it's my grandpa's razor. And the grossest part was that when the hair came off on it, I was like embarrassed. So then I tried to like clean it off with my thumb. Ooh. Sorry.
Wrong direction.
I know. So I've been alone for a bit. So I don't know what's a fun story.
No, that's fine. Just
so you cut the crap out of your finger, basically, or your thumb?
Does that mean that I'm kind of dumb? Like,
no, not at all. I did the same thing or a similar thing. Once. Yeah, my dad had his like those Bic plastic razors in the shower growing up, and when I finally realized what it was, I was like, "Oh, this is cool!" So I just took one and I just started rubbing it on my chest. And then, you know, but there was no hair there. I just was like, I wanted to pretend. And then I got out of the shower and I was bleeding profusely.
You did an accidental fucking Gigi Allen?
Yeah, I did an accidental GG Allen. And then I, in order to make up for it, just smeared my face in human shit just to get the full GG Allen effect. But no, it was, yeah, everyone's cut themselves on a razor.
Allen, more like doo-doo Allen, am I right?
More like good game, Allen, video game speak. Mm. Anyways, holy shit, we are off to a great start.
Look, we came here, we were going to talk about The Undoing, I believe, because I wanted Matt to watch it just so we could shout at each other about it. But also, yeah. We had big like news in the entertainment world
Lot of entertainment news.
Which is that, you know, we had a rant. Like when it's rant week, like anytime a celebrity goes on, we'll call it an onset tirade, I think is the usual
way. Is that what they call it?
I think that's usually what they call it. Like when Christian Bale.
On set. They had a tirade on set. I get what you're saying.
Tirade.
I thought you meant like early onset Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. Like I wasn't sure what onset meant, but yes.
Tom Cruise had an early onset tirade. Like usually you'd expect it when he was about 67, but now he's only 58. So
yeah. No, he's a little too young to rant like that.
Yeah. But I got some audio of that because it's fun. I think we should listen to it. Mainly,
yeah, I mean, just some background on the story.
But see, I got it without background. Like, I just heard, like, a background that I got was that he was mad at crew members for breaking COVID protocol. But, like, seemed like everybody's idea of what that meant was different, which leads me to conclude that no one actually knows.
That's literally all the background I knew. It was Tom Cruise yelling at people for breaking some sort of COVID protocol on the set for Mission Impossible 11 or whatever the fuck.
I want to know the details though. Like, I want to know what did someone pull the mask down?
Yeah.
Uh oh. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm frozen.
We're still here.
Oh shit.
Let him go. Let him go.
Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
He's not podcasting anymore.
Matt, you're not a part of this podcast anymore.
Internet is acting up.
Damn you, Matt.
I mean, I guess we can start over and go without the razor part.
Wait.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't want to lose that. That'd be terrible.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. I did a hard wire. I'm hardwired in.
I'm hardwired, too. We're hardjacked into the Matrix right now, dude.
Okay.
I'm still using wireless.
Well, you're fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Anyway, we don't know why. We don't know what kind of COVID protocol they broke other than that they broke COVID protocol in some.
Yeah, and we know he was very mad about it. And someone leaked some audio, which I have some theories about.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. Let's go. I'm going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You're back here in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing! I'm on the phone with every studio at night! Insurance companies! Producers! And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies! We are creating thousands of jobs, I don't ever want to see it again! Ever! And if you don't do it, you're fired! And I see you do it again, you're gone. And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you. Don't you ever do it again.
And my favorite part about it is he goes, "That's it." And then he goes on for another another 90 seconds, which
I feel like an actor, only
an actor would do, because they just, they're like, "Nah, fuck it. I'm here to chew scenery. This is what I do."
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I do that when I'm mad, though. I'll be like, and that's all I have to say. And one more thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, because it's like, you know, when you're doing a really emotional rant, you're usually just so worked up that you're just like, and that's it. And then you're just like, but I've got excess energy to expend. And then you just keep going. Because, like, what if they miss the first part, you know?
I mean, he's got dramatic pauses in there. He's like digressing and elaborating on points. He's incredibly articulate.
And the great thing
is
he's
he's not being specific about what exactly he is witnessing, so your mind just gets to make it up.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing like a couple of people, like the sound guy and like the key grip, like one is spitting into the other one's mouth, and like this loogie is just coming down, and then he's yelling at them. The loogie is still just hanging and they're watching. And
they're just like finger blasting each other's butts in a mud puddle while they while they spit in each other's mouths. That's actually reminded me of that text Brendan sent us over the weekend where he's like, I'm at the park and there's a group of Italians here and they're just like kissing and not wearing masks. And, and I'm picturing like, you know, I'm picturing like Sylvester Stallone and his family like licking each other's faces and shit. I'm sure it didn't happen that way, but I like to think of it that
way. No, that's fair. It very well could have happened that way. And chances are that's kind of how it went. But yeah, I just like being able to picture all of the crew just going buck wild while he is just yelling at them about never doing a specific thing ever again, even though it's like probably something really mundane, like someone was like wearing his mask with his nose sticking out or some shit like that.
Your apologies. You can tell it to the people that are losing their f***ing homes because our industry is shut down. It's not going to put food on their table. Pay for their college education. That's what I sleep with every night. The future of the f***ing industry. So I'm sorry, I'm beyond your apologies. I have told you, and now I want it. And if you don't do it, you're out. We are not shutting this f***ing movie down. Is it understood? If I see it again, you're f***ing gone. And so are you. So you're going to cost him his job. And I see it on the set, you're gone. And you're gone.
He's pointing at a guy who's like mid giving a rusty trombone to another dude. Just like, sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I was just horsing around.
We're just playing.
Yeah, we're just playing a little game. This is what we do. Usually on set, which is a big game we play.
I felt like at the end he was going to be like, and I'm taking the fish.
Give me all of your Nerf guns. I'm sick of it. Now simmer down.
It's very similar to the last episode of The Sopranos that we watched, where he's like, I work hard every day to bring home all sorts of scooters and bicycles and bullshit and Columbia College. And for what?
This is how you repay me? Yeah, you know that he's a pro from the way he enunciated, people are losing their fucking homes. College educations. Like the way he gets loud in certain words, it's like a Pixie song.
This is about the future of the industry. They expect us to make another Mission Impossible.
They said it was impossible 8 movies ago.
I'm trying to prove that nothing is Mission Impossible other than Mission Impossible.
We're making paradoxes come to life.
It's like...
I turned down a Jack Reacher sequel for this.
It's like, what if he was the president from the beginning of this whole thing?
But it would have been him yelling at people. I don't know that...
But I think that would have worked, like... Get in your fucking homes, you know?
I mean, I think it would have convinced a few of these fucking weak-minded people to do it.
Yeah, but he's doing that in the midst of being on a job that he's, like, has... he has brought people out to continue working.
No, but, like, what if he was the president, though?
Sure. I mean, it would be sick.
No, that's what she was saying, is if he was the president and said that shit, some people would be like, oh, shit, maybe I should listen.
That's it. Am I clear? Do you understand what I want? Do you understand the responsibility that you have?
Slowly inches back towards the asshole to lick.
And if you can't be reasonable, and I can't deal with your logic, you're fired. That's it. That is it. I trust you guys to be here.
All right, that's actually it that time. That's the end of the tape.
Scientology has made him so powerful.
Yeah.
If he can't deal with your logic, you're gone. Why are you eating the key grips, asshole? Why? Do you have a good reason? If I can't deal with your asshole eating logic, I'm done.
He had put some Skittles up there, and we were, and then we had taken a bet on how many Skittles were up there, and we all had different numbers.
Okay, Mr. Cruz, what happened was there was a office pool on how many Skittles were in the key grips asshole, and so I want to see if I could win. But I had this thing where I actually put more Skittles in my mouth, because you have to count them using your tongue by sucking them out the asshole. So it's a thing we do every set. But what happened was I had extra Skittles in my mouth so that I could add more in case I got
I had guessed wrong. The most amount of Skittles, and I thought I could win if I spat more Skittles in his asshole.
So do you see the logic in how much money I could have gotten had I counted the right Skittles that were inside the asshole? Can I keep job?
No! Not good enough logic! My logic is good!
Oh, man. Okay. Theory. Having just moved out of... East Hollywood. I lived right across from the big old Scientology Center on Sunset.
Yeah.
Or on Hollywood, on one of those. And
Fountain, isn't it? Isn't it on Fountain?
Well, it's on Fountain. Yeah, it's on Fountain as well. So I lived at Fountain in Berendo, which is like it's basically the big ass Scientology sign was buzzing at night when I was trying to sleep. It's like very, very close. And I noticed that from the beginning of this pandemic, out of all of the fucking like cults out there, like, you know, the fucking, you know, people who think masks are lies, people who hate vaccines, you know, Trump people, MAGA chuds, whatever. Scientology was the one that was like doing actual COVID outreach and like sending out pamphlets like COVID is dangerous. Here's how to, you know, not get COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was
stay
like
stay 6 feet apart when you are scrubbing the bottom of Tom Cruise's jet ski with a toothbrush.
Exactly. Say three prayers to L. Ron Hubbard and wear this mask. But it was interesting because I was like, oh, that's weird that like Scientology would be on board. At the same time, you know, I was like, well, it shouldn't be weird. I mean, there should be, everyone should be on board with this. So it's, you know, yeah, you can't give them too much of a pat on the back for just like not being people who are spreading lies about science. But I realized like part of me was like, because I don't trust Scientology, I was like, this is some sort of PR ploy, right? Oh, like this is
for
something.
Sure it is. I think that second wave cultism is like, hey, we're not actually that weird.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because I was biking by there the other day, and they had some nice Christmas trees up, and I was like, "Oh, you guys got Christmas trees?
Yeah, maybe they're not so bad. Here's $1,000.
They must not. Maybe I join. They have a Christmas tree.
I love Christmas. I love Christmas, maybe they love me. But yeah, so I was always been a little bit cynical, I found a little sus that they are doing the COVID outreach stuff. And then this came out. And of course, like the initial reaction to this, I think by a lot of people was like, he's right, though. Yeah, right? Because you're like,
it was hard for me to separate the normal thing that happens when Tom Cruise is in the news in any way, which is that immediately a billion people start defending him. And some of them, like, you don't know whether it's a mix of unstable people, bots, or both. And then,
right.
And then there was also, but then this one also had like a second level of like, actually, he's doing the good thing because he's trying to keep the industry like from getting shut down and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And
it was kind of like, it was riding on this wave of kind of like, you know, kind of what you were saying earlier. Initial thought is, oh, I wish someone had been yelling at people early on in this pandemic and maybe it wouldn't be so bad. And you're kind of like, and there you're like, yeah, you know, he's trying to, you know, keep this going. And sometimes you just got to yell at motherfuckers. It's like almost understandable. But I I don't buy it. I do not buy it. I don't buy it for a second that someone was like, oh, he's yelling, I better leak this audio.
No.
Especially he's yelling about something that is, I think, a reasonable thing to yell about. Like the fact that like someone was like, I'm gonna get his ass, knowing full well that this audio being released isn't gonna get his ass. It's gonna, people are gonna, you know, be like, oh yeah, this is right, this is, you know, he is trying to keep his movie going and he wants people to abide by protocols. So it just reads to me,
it just doesn't feel
like
a
setup.
It doesn't feel like it gets out there without Tom Cruise's team okaying it. I mean, maybe it does, but like,
yeah, no
this
way.
Guy
no.
works for, you know, this incredibly rich organization that keeps slaves, and he's manages to be America's sweetheart still. Like, he is got to be like, his team has got to be masters of the art of PR and
They are, that's what they do, that is like that's their best thing, which is why, like, you know, trying to attack other people's attacks is like, you know, it's their big thing. It's like stopping people from talking shit. Of course it's backfired a bunch and it hasn't worked, but you have to admit that Tom Cruise has been, you know, stayed relatively above the fray, and a lot of that has to do with, like, well, number one, he is just like objectively one of the greatest living actors, but number two,
he's the greatest living movie star.
Well, that's what. What else is there, Vince? There's TV and movies.
Sure, but he's not like an actor.
What are you talking about? Plays?
He's not like a good plays. He's not a good actor. He's like an actor like you enjoy seeing on screen, and sometimes
he acts. Sometimes, and he's good at it.
Sometimes his intensity goes great with certain action movies, but he's not going to do, like, I don't know.
He's a great actor.
I don't understand the difference between a movie star and an actor.
I don't get it at all. You've got a very specific view. Yeah, like, acting to me is when you go on something, either a screen or a stage, and you pretend to be somebody
you have lines.
Else.
They give you some lines.
I think
it's been so
long
that he's tried. Like, he knows what he can do. His range is very narrow, and like, he's good at finding projects. I think it's been like 10 years since he tried to really stretch. As an actor, mm-hmm. people sort of just like forget that he's sometimes not that great. I don't know. He's
okay,
fine.
But just because he's
great,
a...
he's great in Magnolia because he plays an intense. Anytime he can play an intense crazy person, he's pretty great.
Okay, yeah, but just because someone isn't like, I mean, that's what, like, some fucking franchise basketball players are good at, like, a couple of things. You know, they can shoot a 30-foot. Three-pointer and make it, and they're, you know, good at passing, but they're not great rebounders. You know, he's good at,
like... Well, it's just like when you say, oh, he's one of the greatest actors, like, and I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm comparing to people that I would call great actors, like fucking...
Like Laurence
Olivier. Seymour Hoffman, or like...
You know,
what?
Sure. You know, it was like, good acting. You know, you want to talk about good acting right now? Uh-huh. Fucking Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, that was a good segue.
And then what's his name? Donald Sutherland. Okay.
Yeah.
And the kid, everyone.
Noah Jupe. That's the kid's name.
Everyone except for the kid. But I agree completely.
I would say everyone except for Nicole Kidman. But
what?
She's a great actress,
but she's trying to act through the non-moving mask that is her face right now, and it's a high degree of difficulty, let's say.
The thing is, though, she's got a lot going on with her eyes. You look into her eyes, and you can see the vulnerability. She's like, I can't move my forehead, but look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does definitely have, like, she's mastered the art of the panicked stare.
Yeah. Let's not move on yet. Let's finish off Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah, okay.
Just
let's
a little
finish
bit.
Off.
I don't know. I don't want to argue about whether he's a good actor, but like, everybody jumped in to defend him. I think first of all, even if he's totally in the right, like, you have to be a famous movie star, otherwise you don't get to scream at everyone like that. Number one.
Oh yeah, completely. And also, like. The idea of I kind of like, I don't know, my feeling is like, I kind of don't care what you're doing wrong. Don't yell at your coworkers like that or your employees. Like,
I mean, I like I to listen to it. It's fantastic because no one yells like that other than
I love
actor.
It. He's He's an incredible yeller of people.
I think when people yell like that, it's like kind of gratifying for us in a way, because like maybe we've had that voice in our heads.
Oh, sure.
In the pandemic, when someone's at the grocery store and then they pull down their mask to say something to you like, "Can I grab that avocado?" And you're just like, "What? I don't understand your logic."
Yeah. It's like,
people are dying. People are dying.
People will lose their motherfucking homes.
Exactly.
I'm trying to pay for college.
But we
just get it all wrong.
We don't do it because we know that it's insane.
Right, right. Well, and I mean, it's antisocial, and it's incredibly off-putting and rude.
It's self-indulgent too. Like I couldn't yell that well. And even if I thought I was as in the right as Tom Cruise does, which I probably have at a certain point, I would not have like the second level of self-confidence to just scream about it for 2 minutes and 20 seconds while like 20 people are around listening to me do an unbroken yell monologue.
Yeah. Yeah, I just I'd be self-conscious after about 15 seconds and be like, "I'm sorry." Like I would go completely the opposite way. I would be like, "You're destroying the industry." I'm sorry. I'm just Never mind. You guys are fine. It's fine.
Maybe I'm just forget. Maybe I'm just like a little crazy. Things have been a little crazy.
Yeah, you're probably
right now.
It's fake. You're right. This is all pandemic. It's plandemic.
I think the only thing I can relate to is like I've had like a couple seconds as a substitute teacher where I almost like had that, but it would just be like, I don't know, they're jumping off a chair or they threw something or something.
Yeah.
But I catch myself pretty quick because I go, "What?"
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay. You can bounce back from that.
I definitely found like a different register of my voice that I didn't know that I had when I was a substitute teacher, but it wasn't for 2 minutes on end. I remember specifically at one point they made me teach PE for junior high schoolers with no whistle. So I was just literally just standing there like yelling at people that are, 500 yards away on a kickball court or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like trying to get them to bring the ball in at the end of period. And I was just like, "Hey, bring the ball in. Hey, bring the ball." And then I did what I thought was like a yell, like, "Hey, bring the ball in." And it like didn't work at all. And then like I found this third level. Like I did not know that I could yell that loud to where like everybody in the entire field like turned around to look at me. But all I said was, "Bring the ball in." I didn't monologue.
What was your third? Was it falsetto?
No, it was just really loud.
Bring the fucking ball in!
I don't want to
do. Hey, bitch! Bring the fucking ball! Hey, you guys, just listen to me and bring the fucking ball!
They just turned around in pity because they were like, "What?"
They're like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, I got scary once too. I was teaching like fifth grade or something, and one of the kids like pulled out a knife and was like, "I'm gonna cut you," to one of the other kids.
Oh, wow. Shit,
it was just like a little knife, but sure. I was like "Give me that." And then like, because all the class, they're like, "Whatever, fuck you, we don't give a shit," but when I said that, they were all like, "Oh
yeah.
give me the knife
Yeah. It is good to know that like yell volume alone is enough to scare kids, because like the whole time you're substitute teaching, like in your mind you're like, I can't really do anything to punish these kids. First of all, I'm not even their regular teacher, and
second of all, it's illegal to hit them.
Second of all, I can't hit them. Third, like if you take away things that they don't care about, like what are they, like if you're a kid that doesn't play like sports or have any sort of privileges that you could take away, what are you gonna say? You're basically just yelling, "Stop! No! Don't!"
Yeah,
but
yeah, it is.
But it's nice to know that just by volume alone, you can actually get them to be like, "Oh crap! I better do what he says."
Yeah, no, yelling at kids has a pretty good effect. So much so that it's like, it's not. I don't know. It's not in the teacher's handbook or whatever, but for like the 2 months that I was getting a degree in getting a teaching credential before I dropped out, low-key, every teacher that I talked to was like, you just got to yell at these motherfuckers. Like, yeah. It was just like you have to. It's just, it's part of classroom management. And it was like one of those things that encouraged me to drop out, because my dad was a teacher, but my dad, like, he yelled all the time at us. And so watching him in a classroom yelling at other kids, it was like, it was scarring, because it was like, he's doing it in public. Now other people are seeing what kind of yeller he is. But it was also like, I just figured he was just like, he's just not good at teaching. You know, he's like, he's yelling at him and whatnot. And some of my favorite teachers were the ones who rarely yelled. They're the ones who knew how to keep a class quiet by just like a look. You know what I mean? Once I started getting that credential and talking to other teachers and becoming a student teacher, I realized that like you just have to learn how to detach your emotions from yelling. Like, yelling and your emotions should not be in the same room together. Like, you just have to learn to yell without having any kind of emotional attachment to it. And I was like, I don't think that's something I want to learn. You know, I so rarely yell in real life that I'm just like, I don't want to learn to be someone who yells. It just, I can't do it.
Yeah. Well,
anyways, Tom Cruise
should have been a
substitute
teacher.
He's great at yelling and sounding like he's has emotions. But as we all know, he lost that as soon as he went clear.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he should suffer any consequences from this, or that like I'm not going to go see his movies or anything, but
he should suffer consequences from having like having Scientologist slaves and stuff, but not for this.
But I'm pretty sure like, yeah, he was kind of an asshole in that situation. Maybe he was a good asshole, but like I don't know enough about what he was yelling at them over to conclude that he was like somehow the good person in that situation. And I also find it strange that people invented like three different scenarios for why he was angry, and it was one of them was like, oh yeah, the crewmen were like going out to bars, and then the other one was like, and the crewmen are like doing that, and there was like four different things, and I'm like, where are you guys getting all this? Like, I heard the same tape you did, and it was very vague. Like, he was mad at them for something, but we don't really know what.
I had read from somewhere that it was like a DP and an editor were too close together or something. It was like, it was something like very vague and kind of like, I don't know, somewhat unlikely, where I was just like, I think in a closed set, like that is like a COVID safe set, you are allowed to be within 6 feet of each other. That is allowed. It's not a question of how close you can get. It's like, it's like the NBA bubble. It's like, you're not allowed to go places. You're basically,
you're not allowed to eat Skittles out of Chris Paul's asshole.
You're not allowed to eat Skittles out of Chris Paul's asshole. There's obvious like restrictions on basically contact with the outside world. So yeah, the fact that there were multiple faked explanations only like boistered my theory that this is all a fucking PR stunt. Like,
you know what?
Don't believe it.
I think it's real. I think it sounds like a man who is losing his kingdom. He's like, our industry is crumbling.
Yeah,
my castle.
Point.
Fight. Take it back. You know.
Yeah, you're right. That is true too. I mean, if anyone's gonna be mad about the fact that like Hollywood has to like close down and the industry, I mean, because it's like he could be yelling at people about COVID. He could also have just watched a TikTok and was just like, our industry is dying. You know, I could see the same thing there. You know,
yeah, he did a lot of look. It was he did
That's
a lot
what
of
happens.
Grandstanding.
They were on TikTok.
Yeah.
That's
they were
what
TikTok.
Happened.
They did the TikTok no mask challenge. All right. So we're all gathered here today because we all watched the HBO miniseries The Undoing, starring
so good.
Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, some kid,
Noah Jupe,
Kiefer's dad.
Yeah.
And who else is in it?
all the lawyers who couldn't keep a steady American accent, whose names I don't know, and that blonde lady who kind of looks like Miss Piggy, but not in a bad way.
How like dare in a you. Hot way.
Yeah, like a Miss Piggy that Kermit wanted to fuck.
Have you ever seen, did you guys see that picture online of Kermit fucking Miss Piggy?
I mean, I've seen a few. Which one are you specifically referring
like,
to?
It's like Kermit looking over Miss Piggy and she's all spread eagle and he's like kind of over her.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one. But that one.
What's he saying?
That one is very real.
He's not saying anything, but it does feel like very real.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And there it's like, this is kind of hot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, like
like he's dominating her in the bedroom because like they have like a whole, you know, a top and bottom, like they're doing role play, like, and they're switching mm-hmm. from who's doing dominant and submissive.
Also, just something so hot about having the smaller person be the top and the bottom is just like, I'm your mountain.
Yeah, no, I knew a lot of like high school relationships that were like that. It would just be like a little wiry, skinny goth kid with like his big girl goth school wife, and and I used to imagine them fucking and thinking like, oh dude, that's kind of hot.
That's I wonder a goth if, girl power move to have a boyfriend who you outweigh by 30 pounds.
Yeah. I think so.
Hell yeah.
But then also,
and I respect it.
I do think that. Like Kermit also gives off vibes of like, hey, peg me, Miss Piggy, you know, like he does definitely seem like he probably got pegged, which is like fine. I'm not like shaming that at all. I think that's great. You know,
yeah, he like likes, he's trying to play good. It off in public like he is not into her. But then, you know, as soon as they get back, to like the apartment, he's just having her spread her asshole. Like Michael Jackson did with those kids.
Oh, Miss Piggy.
Oh, my God. You just got fired from SNL. Again.
Dang Miss Piggy, it. You're hitting my back walls. You know, I feel like I could see it.
Yeah.
Oh, make me your Muppet. I wish I could.
That's your Kermit voice.
I can't do it. All right.
Oh, Miss Piggy. Oh, yes. That's my... prostate.
Why are there so many dicks in my asshole, and what's on the other side?
Can you imagine like, you know, the little frog tongue that they use to catch flies, that he's just like slapping it against her pig clip, just like
I've had people think that that's what they were doing.
That's how I did it for like years.
You tried to have a like, frog tongue?
Yeah, I was like, oh look, a fly.
Have you guys ever kissed anyone that does that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just like short staccato like beats of Yeah.
That sounds bad.
Yeah,
it's very strange. But you know, someone has to teach you how to do stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
But also, I'm at a point now where I think like really bad stuff like that is funny enough that it's worth it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure.
Because we're so old and you're like, oh dang, I remember this, what this was like.
Yeah.
The Undoing, I thought was pretty good though, dude. Like
how did we get here?
Yeah. Like she was like, hey, you know what I thought was good about it? And like, spoiler alert, whatever. From the beginning, you're like, well, obviously the husband did it.
Right.
And then, you know, they like convince every show. They like convince you a little bit, like maybe someone else did it. And then at the end, you're like, no, it was the husband. And that feels like true to life. Cause every true crime podcast or series I've ever watched, like the ending is that, oh yeah, it was the husband all along, obviously.
Right. I mean, that's just like, and they even say it in the show. They're always like, it's always the husband. It's always the husband. And then, you know, it, of course, they meant her husband, the murdered woman's husband, and not Hugh Grant. But of course, it was very obviously Hugh Grant. And it was also, I liked it, but it was semi-obvious that it was him, and that every attempt at making it not him, I was still like, it's him.
You know, I went for it though. Like every episode, I was like, it's Donald Sutherland. I was like, it's Nicole Kidman. Maybe it was the other husband. Like, maybe it was the husband's kid.
Well, because
it was
like,
he killed his mom.
Yeah, it was because there wouldn't be a show if it was the husband. And then, and they like tricked me just good enough.
I mean, it definitely, it got me thinking of different theories, but I never really strayed from it's the husband, and this is a show where they're going to I actually thought it was going to be like he was going to get more sinister with it, like he was going to actually try to pin it on Nicole Kidman.
And well, he tried to kind of with his kid for a second.
He
tried to do it with his kid a little bit, and like you know, it was like moments like that where I was like, oh, this is gonna be his angle, this is where he's going. And when the kid, you know, had the hammer, for those of you who haven't watched it, by the way, it's this is a story about
how Nicole's life got flipped, turned upside down.
We'd like to take a minute, just sitting right there, tell you how Hugh Grant murdered a woman with a hammer. it's a doctor and his therapist wife and their snotty little bitch son live you know, in some Manhattan high-rise rich family, you know, and there's a random young Latina mother who gets murdered, and it turns out that the husband, Nicole Kidman's husband, is having an affair, and as soon as she's found murdered, he takes off, so everyone thinks he did it.
And he's like, no, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't do it.
Not me. Okay, I'm a very nice person. That's my best Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant was so perfect for that role because he always kind of plays like, you know, in Bridget Jones, he's like sort of a narcissistic asshole.
Yeah.
But who's charming though and cute. So you're like, I kind of like it. But it's just so good that they took that to the next level and be like, no, actually, he's charming and British and cute and narcissistic and a murderer.
They took it to its logical conclusion there, which is he will murder a woman in cold blood with a hammer.
I think that people are starting to realize that like narcissism culture is not as cute as we thought it was.
Right.
It's kind of like the overdue realization that like nerds are not sweet and like nice people deep down.
Also, like the fact that he was like, you know, because you think, oh, like a child oncologist is like a really good person.
Mm. Right.
But then it's like, why do they do that, though?
That's not what I got from it. You're like, no, well, what are they doing it for, though?
Because they he wanted to see like 1,000 kids slowly die of cancer.
Yeah, they're like, I want to see the light go out of their eyes.
Every time I meet someone who's like doing anything amazing, like curing like cancer and all this, I'm just going to be like, what have you done?
Yeah, exactly.
Who did you kill with a hammer and how?
What
nice
are you running
titties?
From? What are you?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
By the way, can we just for a second, and I'm sorry, but the actress who plays the Latina lover is so beautiful, and she's so naked.
Can I tell you that that's what I didn't like about it, and why usually I don't watch shows like this is because
there was killed.
How quickly they go from sexualization to violence.
It's, yeah.
in a show with the flashbacks and the way they do that, and people like it because it's like, ooh, sex, violence, sex, violence, sex,
yeah,
violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My two favorite things.
But I'm just like, that's so twisted to do that in that way. But it is also like, that's what it is, though, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened to her. She was like sexy, but she was too sexy for this world.
Yeah, he got so, you know how Matt gets mad when he gets horny sometimes?
Yeah, when I get horny, I get angry. And when I get angry, I get violent. And when I get violent, like, I get horny again.
When you see a woman that's so beautiful, it only makes sense that you would then want her to die in the show.
Yeah,
it's the same. Exactly. It's the same thing with when
totally
you see.
Normal. That's totally normal male sexuality.
It's totally normal and cool. Okay. It's the same thing like when a girl sees like a really cute cat and they want to like squeeze the head and then rip the head off.
Yeah, except that.
Okay. Don't you want to do that?
No.
Oh, well, that's.
It's different because kitties are furry.
Yeah, that is true. But you know when you have like a really cute, like a little kitty and you want to squeeze it and then you just keep squeezing it until the light goes out of his eye.
That's what you think with women?
Yeah. No, not me, dude. Not me. I'm just saying.
Matt, should I tell you about the rabbits again?
Tell me about the rabbits, George. No, I agree with you that like they definitely go like from sexualizing her to her being the murder victim, and it's almost
they
keep showing her begging for her life, but it, like she's the problem is because she's like sexualized, she's like kind of she's still hot begging for her life.
It was like a jarring juxtaposition where they went from like incredibly frank nudity to like, oh, and then now she's dead, and you're like, ah, what. What kind of an art are they trying to do? HBO must be trying to do an art of some kind.
They're definitely trying to do an art. And I do feel like, I mean, in that way.
I'm not sure that they were, but that's okay.
No, that's an art. It was, I mean, maybe it was like over recommended to me, but it was like one of those things where people were talking about it like, bro, you gotta watch The Undoing. Because it was like really, really good. And I did. And I watched it.
I think it did a great push-pull between, like, am I watching this because it's good or because it's bad? And you never...
No, I was watching it because I enjoyed it. It did its intended effect, which was I wanted to watch the whole thing in one sitting. I just, like, kept going through episodes and I enjoyed it. The mystery was fun, although, you know, a little bit obvious, but I was kind of okay with the obviousness of it because of the fact that the performances are really good. Like I do think Nicole Kidman was great in the show.
I think she's a good actress, but I just get like hung up looking at her face, and like she has this thing, and a lot of celebrities have it where they've like injected stuff into their face to where their face gets really big, and so like there's no wrinkles, but it's just this huge
giant melon,
this giant immovable melon. And she also. And the girl on The Boys has done this too, but I don't know what these lines are called, the lines that extend from like the outside of your nostrils to the corners of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like they've clearly had a lot of stuff injected into that line to like make it not be a crease there. And so they just have this weird, like giant catcher's mitt thing. And then like there's like a funhouse slide where their lips are.
Yeah.
And it's, and they clearly can't move their lip area. And I know you're not supposed to like talk about women's faces in a review and stuff like that anymore, but I like that is very distracting to me when I'm trying to watch.
Yeah, you notice that stuff. I mean, I notice when the plastic surgery throws me off a little bit, but it only throws me off if it's not a character who I could see having plastic surgery.
Sure.
In this case, it was like, you know, I could see this Manhattanite therapist with their fucking darling British oncologist husband having some work done.
Sure.
I really like watching the Muppets and stuff, so it's kind of like you just got to think of her at that point like it's a puppet, you know?
That's what actors are. They are kind of just like meat Muppets, and you know, they're not...
It's fun to imagine Tom Cruise as like Miss Piggy being like, we're gonna get fucking fired! I talk to studios every night!
Listen to moi.
Oh, that sounded like a Skeksis a little bit.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my bad.
No, that's good.
Oh,
I like Skeksis.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, the Chamberlain.
You say Skeksis?
What are those? Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's from the Dark Crystal.
Oh,
yeah.
And it's all the same people that do this. Miss Piggy and all the same voices.
Dude, so. How much better is every puppet than any CGI you've ever seen? Like anytime, like
I love puppets.
Like
love
any puppets. Henson puppet, you look at it and you're like, God, that is just like the coolest looking fucking thing ever. And
I just started watching The Mandalorian, it's like one of my favorite things about Star Wars in this kind of like new Disney-fied iteration is like, you know, for all of its like, you know, the bullshit about its like sell outiness or kind of blandness or whatever you want to call it. At least they learned from the mistakes of like the Lucas prequels and were like, we're going to have some practical effects and some fucking puppets because you just like them better. Puppets are
it's the same reason you like kitty cats because you want to pet them. Like there's like a tactile thing going on and you're like, oh yeah. Look at it. I want to give it a hug.
Yeah, it just makes more sense because it's like the physics of a puppet are just different than the like artificial physics of like a CG character, and it's not like they can't do it kind of well. Like they can, you know, they've gotten a lot better, but like then you see a fucking alien puppet and you're like, no, I like that better.
Yeah, you see an alien puppet from the 70s and you're like, this looks better than
it looks better. It looks
CGI.
Better.
I know 2020 CGI is incredibly complex and amazing, but it still doesn't look as good as a puppet from 30 years ago, 50 years ago.
In the Dark Crystal remakes, I don't know if you guys watched that at all on Netflix. No,
I didn't.
It's so good.
What is that called?
It's like a series. It's called The Dark Crystal, like Age of Darkness
again, age of againness.
Age of here we go. But it's really good. It kind of goes in depth into the world. And originally, when they were creating it, they were going to do CGI, and then they were just like, "This looks bad. Let's just do puppets again."
Yeah, it's counter to the whole reason people like the original, you know, in the first place.
Vince, can I just point out that you just said 20s CGI,
2020s, yeah.
Oh, I heard just 20s.
Oh.
And it was the first time I'd ever heard someone call this the 20s.
Yeah, I keep wondering when that's going to start, but it's going to happen.
No, I mean, it is the goddamn 20, and like that's...
Someone in 1920 was having the exact same conversation.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, like they were doing a podcast and they were like, whoa.
Looky here, Jack. Are we going to call this
Jack,
the 20s?
It's the 20s, see?
It's like we're still back in the 1800s, and I'm not used to it yet. You hear?
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder what people in the 1820s were doing, yeah? You know, when they were probably recording a podcast through a tin can.
Did they feel weird about calling it the 20s, too?
Well, it's me. I was just thinking about how it's the 1820s, and now we could call it the 20s, huh? I wonder if people in the 1720s was thinking the same thing.
What
day was podcasting?
Oh, I love your gold prospector character.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're gold in them there podcasts. I got a pickaxe. Anyways, it's the 20s. It's the 1820s. We go. I wonder if it's the 20s and the 1720s.
I'll do 17.
I don't know how. Oh, hello. It will be east a little bit. East to 20.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I was giving his slave lashes, yeah? Oh, and he looked at me with eye contact, and I was like, oh, we can't have this then. I was like, oi, what's all this then?
And I say, hey, you look at me one more time, you ain't getting no big boy.
I will turn this boat right around.
All right. Yeah. Gotta go, flap, flap, flap.
People are losing their hovels, see? I've been talking to older shipping companies and they're looking to us to set an example.
Oh, fantastic.
That's my favorite thing about new British trashy people is that they say everything's like, yeah. Sentence is like, oh, you looking at me then, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, The Undoing. This is the second or third time that we have been sidetracked from The Undoing because we wanted to talk about puppets.
Well, it's one of those shows that I think the ultimate comment on a show's quality is like whether I keep watching it. And yes. And I sped through this one, but I don't necessarily, I don't know that it's one that's going to like stick with me or that I'm going to remember moments from the show and like reference them in 2 months. But
yeah, the big kind of climax for the show for me was kind of like the last half of the final episode, in which you know, it's clear that he's definitely, Hugh Grant is definitely guilty, and then he goes and kind of like halfway kidnaps his son, you know, and goes on the run from the cops, and you kind of get to see some of the best acting of the show done by Hugh Grant, where he is just losing his mind and trying to pretend like nothing's wrong, and like, you know, his son is like, we can't do this, we have to go back, you have to turn yourself in or go to court, you can't just run away, and he's like, you know, pretending like everything's fine, and then yells at him, and it's like that shit, I was like, okay, this was all leading up to this moment, and I am glad I stuck around, because Hugh Grant, this is, like you were saying, Jessica, kind of a perfect role for him, because he is kind of this character. I mean, maybe sans the murder, but who knows.
You could see him like being a charming sociopath.
Yeah, he's gotten by on his charm, and
so charming, by the way. Charming.
The most charming. And,
dude,
and,
like,
and
you would for sure have sex, like all of us in this room would have sex with him after that school fundraiser.
Oh yeah, you know? No, for
I'd
sure.
Let him knock out my back walls for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. He could take a hammer right to my balls, and I would be like, please, sir, I have some more, you know, go straight Oliver on that shit.
You know, the show was good in that I feel like Hugh Grant has been knocking it out of the park pretty consistently for the past 2 years and sliding like, just barely under the radar. Like if you watch Paddington 2, where he plays like the pompous actor, I legit think he should have won an Oscar for that movie because he was so fucking good in it. He's so,
I gotta see that now.
Oh, you haven't seen Paddington 2?
No.
It's really?
No.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it's
right,
so
right.
Does it have a puppet in it?
No. The bear is CG, unfortunately, which is the worst thing about it. And I wish the bear was a puppet, but like, it almost doesn't matter because Hugh Grant is like the puppet that you kind of want to, he's like a little plushy toy you want to hug. And he plays like a pompous actor that's Paddington's nemesis. And like he's fallen on hard times because he has to do like dog food commercials as a dog. It's great. Mm-hmm. You got to watch Paddington 2.
This is the third or fourth time that we have tried to talk about The Undoing.
Okay,
and talked
Matt,
about puppets.
Matt, I agreed with you. That scene where you're really starting to see how psycho he is.
Yeah,
is the best scene. And then I love it when he's about to jump off the bridge.
Yeah,
and then Nicole Kidman walks up and she's yelling his name and she's like, "Don't stop." Yeah. What's his name in it? I don't know.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah. Okay, she's like, Hugh, get that, no. And then he turns around in this way that's like, hey, you love me.
Yeah.
You said my name.
Yeah, and then she goes and grabs her son and runs away
like,
from
come
him.
To
and
me,
he's like,
give me a hug.
Yeah. And he's like, wait, no. No, you're supposed to. And then just starts yelling her name, Nicole Kidman, you know. And
I feel like
her name was Grace.
I feel like if you wanted to watch that show and you had a drinking game, every time someone said semen, like you would be drunk. I liked that during the courtroom scenes, they're just openly talking about Hugh Grant's semen and where they found it in front of his wife and kids. And everybody's just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, murder trials. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Can I say some of the so another of the best the things that I really liked about this was there was a line in it said by the overdramatic lawyer.
You're one of the overdramatic lawyers?
One of the lawyer for the defense. Where
Which one?
She
the
says,
first guy with the bad Boston accent or the second, like, way,
no, 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 sorry.
Way too serious the lady?
The black lady.
Yeah, the way too serious black lady.
She says
I thought she was good.
She was good.
Yeah.
But importantly, she says to Hugh Grant something that I think is was kind of profound and applies, I think, to a lot of politicians, which is something along the lines of like, you've gotten like you are so egotistical that you and so narcissistical that you thought you could charm the police. And you thought you could charm, like, you think you can charm your way out of this. And I don't know, for me, it was like pretty profound because it's like, oh yeah, that is how like half of these fucking narcissists think. Like people like, I'm sorry, like Joe Biden, people like Joe Biden, who is so convinced of his own charm that he is like, Oh, I'm going to be able to get shit done. People will like me. Yeah. The Republicans will all like me because I trust me. And like Barack Obama had the same thing where it was just like I'm going to get the Republicans to work with
no
the Democrats.
No one has ever not liked me.
No one has ever not liked me. I'm the most likable person in the world. I can do this. Everyone else can't. It's the same thing with everyone. Everyone who thought that they could get into the Trump administration and control Trump, they all were so convinced of their own charm and so convinced
I'm
going to
make money
brilliance.
Off of this, and it's never going to rub off on me in any negative way.
And there's no way he's, he's backstabbed every single advisor and person on his cabinet that he's ever had, but not me. Because I am special. And like that was to me, I was like, it was like they all show the same traits of Hugh Grant in that like they are so narcissistic that they truly believe that they could get away with murder, get away with the thing that like nobody's able to get away with.
Murdering someone with their semen still inside them.
Yeah, right.
One thing that was interesting is like, I didn't really feel like he was like a murderer. Like he didn't really want to go around murdering people. He wasn't particularly violent, but they had this sort of relationship that it's like when he murdered her, it was like, cause she was like challenging him in some way.
Right.
She was saying like, you wouldn't do that. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't, I can't.
Yeah. Right. He was emasculated in some way, I think.
Well, that's what that's like the last words before any fight starts on the internet is someone saying, you ain't going to do nothing about it. And then of course, like that's the last thing you say before you get punched.
Right. But if it's on the internet, then, you know, no one gets punched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Well,
who's ever gotten punched from the internet?
No, I mean in videos, not like in text.
Oh, in internet videos of people fighting in real life. Yeah.
When
no, that's
like,
true.
When you're like watching two people, you know, yelling at each other in the fucking Walmart.
Yeah, I've never understood that. I've never been one of those do something people.
Yeah.
Like,
what
to me, I'm like,
you
oh, they'll
do
something.
About it. Yeah, then they're going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, right. You're like backing them into a corner. Unless you know how to like counter punch. Like, I don't even know the word for a counter punch. It's just, that's what I call it.
It's called counter punching.
But yeah, so.
But this,
Vince,
this
I saw you fighting on Instagram.
Oh, you saw me doing my katas in the living room? Yeah.
Just you were punching.
Just one.
Look at that. Look at you. Warming up for what? Who are you going to beat?
He was just punching the air.
Just punching air. Just for
You're turning into peak Fresno Vince, and I love it.
I was just
in front of his Christmas tree.
I was doing a bit, but okay.
It's all a bit until you're like straight up opening a dojo, dude.
Well, I could do that too. I am a trained martial artist, Matt.
You are. See, you're already justifying it.
I've
you're
been
getting
that
it
for 15 years.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like you should open up a
dojo. I honestly think you should too.
I would go, and then I'd like make some show about it. Like, oh, Vince teaches Jessica how to fight.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, Jessica, you know, you're too weak. You're not going to be able to do this. Like, you just can't pull it together. But then I would. And then you would see my muscles get all fucking buffed out.
Be,
and then
everyone
would be like, this is a good show. She can fight now.
Yeah, are we talking about a sweet montage?
Cobra Kai. It sounds like Cobra Kai.
Yeah, but it'd be different because it'd be me and Vince.
It'd be different because I wrote script.
It'd be different because I'm an almost like middle-aged woman.
Yeah.
Matt, so when you're talking about Hugh Grant being a sociopath, and I'm taking this opportunity to move away from The Undoing because I feel like we maybe squeezed all the juice out of that lemon.
Yeah, we undid it.
But it reminded me of the piece going around from two nights ago I don't know if you read that about the lady who fell in love with Martin Shkreli.
No, I didn't. I heard about it, and it depressed me so much I was like, in fact, I low key was like, I hope Vince reads it and can explain it to me.
Okay, I'll give you the Cliff's Notes.
Please do. Go ahead.
So basically, there was this woman that was covering the Martin Shkreli trial, or she covered Brooklyn Court for Bloomberg, and that turned into her covering Martin Shkreli's trial, and she kind of like she got close to him as a source,
right?
And to the point where she like fell in love with him, and then she Jessica,
do you have a question?
Is he the guy that had made the AIDS vaccine?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It was a drug for a certain kind of cancer that he raised the price on by 5,000%. He was like,
and then went on the news and said he could do it. Yeah, and that something along the lines of like, well, I could have raised it by more or whatever.
Yeah. And then.
Cool guy. Very cool. And then easy to fall in love with.
He went to jail because I guess he used the proceeds from that to like pay off investors from a previous like failed hedge fund sort of thing that he did. I don't know. Anyway, so she got close to him as a source to the point that she like divorced her husband and
she fell in love with him.
Then they had like a relationship. They never had sex because he was still like in prison. And she like froze her eggs so that she might be able to get pregnant when he gets out of prison.
Get little squirrelies.
And then the article ends with he finds out that she is opening up about their relationship and basically like ghosts her from prison. And so,
which is like, that's maybe the worst kind of ghost. Cause it's like, bro, I know you're not doing anything.
I would be very insecure about my pussy at that point.
Yeah. Well, he's never actually seen it is the thing.
Yeah.
Because they never actually did it. But I can't imagine of a greater own than falling in love with like the worst person on earth and then getting ghosted by him from prison.
I mean, it is an unbelievable story about just the... Just the unfairness of the world, the fact that...
I'll tell you what I think it's a story about.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. So after this came out, and now today, Elle Magazine, some writer for Elle, like, published this story, you know, about this woman and her fucking terrible...
Yeah, that's where it came out, right?
And then today, New York Magazine has an interview with the journalist who broke the story of the other journalist who fell in love with Martin Shkreli, and like how, like they're doing like a behind the scenes of the behind the scenes. And by the way, the original journalist, like she wanted to write like a memoir of her relationship with Martin Shkreli. And she like wrote it and she couldn't find a publisher for it, but she,
cause who fucking cares?
But she sold the movie rights to her book proposal that no publishers bought. And then today there's like a second article in which another journalist who was also like covering court cases and knew the original person explains like how they got the story in Elle and blah, blah, blah. So like, I think this is all it's like an access journalism circle jerk. Like I think,
yeah, that's what it sounds like
when you're doing like access journalism, where you're making your bones on being close to newsworthy people.
Right.
Like, I think she sort of, at some point she like forgot, she lost the difference between a juicy story and, like something good happening in her personal life. I think she got like, sexually excited about the idea of this fucking scoop and, you know, selling a book
that she got like literally horny.
Scooped out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Scoop me out like a pumpkin, Shkreli.
Oh, I got the scoop.
And so, yeah. And so it's like this, it's kind of like the pyramid scheme of the attention economy where, Martin Shkreli thought he could make money off of being infamous, and this other lady thought she could be famous off of being close to someone who was infamous, and then another magazine writer thought they could make their name off the first. You know, it's like this.
It's an industry of fucking deer ticks that they've actually, there's so many, they've lost the deer. There's no deer anymore, and they're like, fuck you, I'll just make my own deer. And
what
so
if we
a bunch
just
of,
sucked each other off?
Yeah, what if we just had enough deer ticks that we made the shape of a deer, and then more ticks could go on? And it's like, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, what? Who is this? And who is any of it for? Who is it for? Who is the original story for? Like, who the fuck cares about Martin Shkreli, first of all? Who the fuck cares about you falling in love with him? Who the fuck cares about you reporting on a story of a woman who fell in love with Martin Shkreli? Who the fuck cares about the woman who reported on it? Like, it just keeps going. It keeps going. This fucking, the deer is jerky. It's jerky.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. You're just sucking the marrow from the bones on this fucking dog of a story. There's just like, I when I first heard about it, it was like trending on Twitter the other day, and I was like immediately depressed by it, because it was just like, you know, there's this feeling that like these scumbags that the news props up will never leave. They'll never go away, because they'll either continue to go after more press and fame, and also because the news will not stop telling you about them. They'll just keep going. They'll just keep telling you about something they did, like, you know, him like buying a rare copy of a Wu-Tang Clan album or something. I don't give a I don't need to know that he did that. Why would you tell me that?
Yeah.
You ever have like someone who like will tell you like depressing shit on purpose to make you sad or mad?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like. It's like coming home and hearing like the news is like my mom telling me about all of the neighbor kids who died, you know, or like, you know, like shit, just shit that you're just like, ah, I don't want to know, man. Like,
just because this makes me sad and angry does not make it meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
sometimes though, like if I know something really sad, and I really want to tell people, because even if I love them, because I want them to be sad.
Right.
Is that bad?
No, it's not bad. But I think there's a difference between saying something to make someone sad and saying something to make them There's something more hostile about it. It's not about like sharing in grief or sharing.
No, for me,
in...
when I do it, it feels slightly hostile.
Well,
but it's not like I want to hurt my friend's feelings. It's just like I know this crazy thing, and it's like it's not like I want to share any grief, but it's just like I don't know. I'm like, I want you to know this too, because it's so weird.
It's going to poison my brain if I don't get it into your brain also.
Right. And it's like when you smell something really horrible and you're like, here, smell this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit, and I'm like, it's only people who I already kind of, you know, didn't like or don't trust who do that shit. But I don't know. I do feel like there is something more hostile in the way that like some people choose to foist like news that is very specific to your own triggers, you know what I mean? Like we all have our own triggers, and it's like if someone insists on telling you a thing or like news on somebody, and it just like continually triggers you, you're just like, you're doing this on purpose. Maybe that's how I feel about Martin Shkreli. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know that someone fell in love with him.
On that note, I think I'm going to read you like the sweetest passage from the story. Soon after quitting Bloomberg, Smythe visited Shkreli again, fuming about the book industry's rejection of him and her. Quote, "I was so angry at the establishment and people who wouldn't let me tell my story in the book. Publishers, Bloomberg, everybody," she says. Without her job or her marriage, quote, "that totally eroded any defenses I had left," unquote. Before, she had tamped down the sparks between her and Shkreli, but now she gave them air. She thought about when he'd teased her about being a nerd in an old photo he'd glimpsed, and how she felt when he added her to his visitors list.
I'm sorry. She's reminiscing about the time that he negged her.
Yes.
From behind bars.
Yeah.
He negged her from behind bars.
He's not a big fan of visitors, but wanted her to come. A realization hit her. In the visitor's room, quote, "I told Martin I loved him," Smythe says, "and he told me he loved me too." She asked if she could kiss him, and he said yes. The room smelled of chicken wings, she remembers.
What? Oh,
why that detail? In case you weren't already thinking of vomiting. It was like, no, we need more. We need more detail.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So then
Wait, chicken wings. Where were they? I thought this was prison.
Prison visiting room, yeah.
They have chicken wings in prison?
I mean, in the visiting room, I'm guessing.
Oh, come on, man. What kind of fucking prison? All right. I swear to God, man. I just don't want to hear about Martin Shkreli anymore. And yeah. I definitely don't want to hear that you fucking froze your eggs for him, or that he tried to scoop you out like a pumpkin and then ghosted you.
I think every woman needs to read this story. I think
Why?
And be like, this could be, this is you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel you there.
I mean, me from a few years ago, like me 10 years ago, mm-hmm. read this. This is you.
It definitely, every woman who has dated a comedian should read this. That I get. Or like, you know, someone who is in like a noise rock band, you know, like that. I get it. Like maybe you can get something out of it, but I don't know, man.
Well, I guess if you're insecure and then someone is like giving you any, like showing you their confidence and narcissism, maybe like you kind of want that in some way.
Yeah. But like also though, was it his celebrity? What? I just can't. What was it about Martin Shkreli that you were like, damn, man?
It was
a lot to love there.
That he was a celebrity and he chose her to be the one that he opened up to. Like he gave her insider access and she was like, oh, fuck, I'm so special because I'm getting this fucking story. And then she turned that into, I feel so special when I'm around him. I think I'm in love with him.
Jesus Christ.
So fucking sad, dude.
She already had a husband.
Well, not anymore.
Broke up a marriage. This actually leads to...
To be fair, I would have to think that the husband sucked. I don't know.
Well, maybe so. But this leads to just a quick follow-up on Hulu's new series, A Teacher, mm-hmm. which I'm now...
Show's getting good now, dude. Legit
I'm
good.
I'm fully caught up on it. Jessica, have you seen the show A Teacher?
No.
It's Kate Mara plays a high school teacher who falls in love with one of her students and
sounds great.
Yeah. Well, and he, you know, and basically
the
like
twist is they're both super hot.
The twist is they're both hot. The twist is that like, you know, it's okay when Kate Mara does it cuz she's real hot. It is just, I'm all caught up on it now, and now she is facing consequences, and I have to say, I am fully at the point with this show where if they do not explicitly say that this fucked this kid up.
Oh, that's
you know,
what the whole last, I feel like that's what all the last few episodes have been.
I know, but what they need to do is explicitly... I need him to say, looking straight into the camera, wow, man, it turns out that this was sexual abuse and just I was too young for this. And you know what? This is the kind of relationship that that shouldn't be looked at as an equal relationship between two consenting partners.
I mean, I think it's clearly leading up to that, though.
I can't tell. I can't tell, dude. I need them to say it because I'm starting to get concerned watching like this character who I'm supposed to feel bad for her is like the feeling I'm getting from it. And that's not to say that I don't feel bad for people who have done heinous things.
And I'm kind of with you. I feel like I know what you mean. Like, I've watched things like I, Tonya and stuff. Where
yeah,
we're
yeah.
supposed to be kind of into the moral ambiguity of it all.
Right.
And with her, it's like, yes, we want to understand the background and what's going on. But, you know, moral ambiguity is one thing. But any sort of glorifying of yeah. abuse or blurring those lines.
Yeah.
For the sake of art or whatever. I think, like, I watch some movies and I'm like, I think that this movie is morally not right.
The problem is that, like, I think I need a filmmaker to have a perspective. It's like, I can tell this is a novel because of the fact that they are trying to do the kind of like the moral ambiguity and also the nuance and like the, you know, the gray areas of life and shit. But I still need a perspective and I need it to be explicit.
Okay, but like what do you think of Mary Kay Letourneau though? Where
I don't know who that is.
She's the most famous like student fucker of all time. She was like, yeah. you know, a pretty blonde teacher.
Uh-huh.
She, you know, started a relationship with her, I don't know, 15, 16 year old student or something like that. She right. like went to prison for it, and then she like he got out. They got back together, and they were like married and had kids until she died, basically.
Oh
no!
Damn.
I thought that he left and was like, "Oh, I realized she abused me."
Really?
And I thought did I make that up?
I don't think so. I thought they stayed together.
Either way, for me, died. that's like a Woody Allen situation. It's like you did something to him. To mm-hmm. make him like fucked up, like you took advantage of him.
Well,
now he's twisted in your direction.
Well, it's not just that. Here's the thing: I'm not going to say that it's not at all possible for there to be a 16-year-old boy who is mature enough.
I guess Matt is sort of right.
What?
They got separated like less than a year before
Jessica said it.
She died. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the marriage, Fulau said he was not a victim and was unashamed of the relationship. According to People in May 2020, an unnamed source close to Fulau said that he sees things clearly now and realizes that this wasn't a healthy relationship from the start.
Wait, how did she die?
Colorectal cancer.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck. All right. Well, you didn't have to get all... Ugh.
Well, I can't change the record.
Yeah, change it, though. Make me feel better.
All right, well,
he
went on to own a tire dealership. And,
oh, sick.
And she
nice.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Oh, that's good. I'm really I'm happy for them.
Aww.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
They both got
I'm not saying it's not possible.
Great.
I'm not saying it's not possible for there to be a 16-year-old a 16-year-old kid who falls in love with an older woman and is
younger than 16.
I'm trying to say that there are exceptions to every rule, but it's like in general my feeling about these kinds of situations is I look at them like not as like, well, this is just one particular case that I made up for a book. I look at it as like this is everything is like allegorical. So if I'm looking at this like totally allegorically, you know, I could look at this, and if they are glorifying this, then it works the other way around. Then you're saying that like it is sometimes there is love between right. an older man and a younger woman, you know, so it's like I need you to have I need there to be a perspective. I need it to be coming from somewhere. And then I can sit with the tragedy a little bit better because I can know that you are not doing the thing. Because the idea that like, you know, of course it's saying that this is wrong is not, I don't think that's an of course, mostly because of the fact that there's been tons of fucking like, oh, come on, you know, like fucking... teacher, hot girl teacher and 16-year-old kid, that's fine. Like, the status quo is that, like, that is, you know, people are 50-50 on that even being sexually inappropriate. So I the idea that it's like, oh, of course they're showing it that it's bad. I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't know about it. Anyways, I'm waiting for more episodes. This okay. show has me fully hooked in.
You're on the fence so far, solid B+.
Solid B plus so far.
Okay.
Yeah. Before we go, Vince, I was wondering if you could do something for me.
Oh, no.
I was wondering if you could, if we could once again try royalty free. But this time you type in Christmas music.
Sure. All right. Christmas music.
Just type in Christmas music and we'll try one.
Okay.
And
I'm ready. If you
this
are.
This is for Darren.
Okay.
This is also for David. David Murr. Yeah. Christmas time. Christmas time. Christmas time. What up, bitch? This is Christmas time. Flap, 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 flap. Here's some wine. Christmas time. Well, not perfectly, but me and my Christmas bitch, we like to eat some fish. We like to hang down south. I like to put the fish in the mouth. Oh, me and my Christmas bitch, we get our number one Christmas wish. Our Christmas wish was for more fish. That's why I'm here with my Christmas bitch. Christmas bitch. Christmas bitch. Christmas bitch. Christmas bitch. All right, that was one. That was Christmas bitch.
Okay.
Let's do another one.
All right, this one's a little faster.
Let's do it.
Can you handle it?
Yo, baby, it's cold outside. Why don't you come inside? You come inside because it's so fucking cold and you can come in here. Me and you now inside the house. No one here, not even a mouse. We about to have a drink right now. Me and my Christmas bitch. Fuck. Yeah, cold outside. You don't want to go out there no more. Hey, you're not even wearing a coat. So, don't go. Now we're inside, everyone mixing, everyone slide. We're drinking our Christmas juice, and everyone knows that it's got alcohol in it. And you're like, hey, what's in it? And I'm like, bitch, you know, of course you drink. We drink alcohol, and she like, ooh, but I gotta go. And I'm like, no, no, no. And she like, but I gotta go. And then she says, it's cold outside. All right, I'm done.
All right. Cool.
That was my attempt at Baby It's Cold Outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it went great. All right. I think we can call that an episode. Let's call it an episode. Jessica, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on here, you guys. I miss you so much.
I miss you so much. And I hope to see you in person again someday. But until I do, where can people find you on the internet?
Probably Instagram. Yeah, if it's at Jessica Seely, it's spelled Jessica and then S-E-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
That is my name. It's also the same as my handle for Instagram. I might, like, post some stories in there about, like, you know, what I'm eating or, like, maybe a Black Lives Matter or, like,
yeah,
something like that, you know?
That's sick. Those are all good things. So you can check that out.
Thanks,
on
Matt.
Instagram.com. Thank you so much. Big shout out real quick to our two new Pod Yourself a Shout Out patrons, Michael John and Byron Bergen. As you know, Pod Yourself a Gun is on hiatus right now for until season 4 starts. So thank you so much. We'll call you Miguel Gianni and Byron the Burger Bergen. Those are your mafia names. I did my best, but thank you guys so much for the Patreon donations. And you can become a Pod Yourself a Shout Out tier if you just go to patreon.com/frogcast and donate to us. Frogcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, and concerns. Vince, what's a Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everyone. And one last thing. Get yourself some holiday swag at teespring.com/store/frotcast. Get all of your Frotcast swag for Christmas. This probably comes out too late for you to do it, but you should do it anyways. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, good night and good chins.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.